Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, so it's, I mean this with all my heart when I say that it's an honor for me to be able to introduce our next speaker. I don't know how long it's been since we've been connected with EW. It's been a few years now, but I tell you, it's one of the best relationships, and I've even had EW preach at my church, and I just think he is one of the best preachers anywhere. And you know, he's just incredible. And if you haven't heard him, you're in for a treat. EW Jackson served in the U.S. Marine Corps, graduated with honors. Hoorah!
Right?
Okay. Can I say that if I'm not a Marine? Anyway. He graduated with honors from the University of Massachusetts in 1975 and from Harvard Law School in 1978 and practiced law for 15 years. He's a bishop of the Called Church and founder of the Stand Foundation. He's authored two books, 10 Commandments to an Extraordinary Life and 12 Principles to Make Your Life Extraordinary. Bishop Jackson hosts the National Awakening Conference Call weekly and is a daily talk show host on America Family Radio. He won the Republican nomination for Lieutenant Governor in the state of Virginia in 2013, and it is our honor and privilege to be able to have him joining us today. So would you all put your hands together and welcome Brother Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Look, it is just an honor to be here. It really is. Two of our favorite people in the world, for my wife and I, who is here today as well, are Andrew and Jamie Womack. They are just godsends. They really are. They really are. And we love you. We pray for them. We get to see Andrew on television all the time. And when I told my wife that I had been invited to come, she got all excited about being here. And then we realized, of course, that September 11th, being a very, very special day, is also our anniversary. We've been married for 51 years today. I don't know where she is, but you'll recognize her because she's walking around this red, white, and blue patriotic outfit. I tell people, you think I'm conservative, you got to meet my wife. But Richard, that introduction was so gracious. And I told Richard in the green room, I said, you're standing up here talking about coming after me. And now that you've spoken, I feel like I ought to say what he said. Just sit down. Magnificent and magnificent. In fact, I was thinking when Richard was done, I thought, I'm re-enlisting, Richard. God bless all of you veterans out there. God bless each and every one of you. All of our first responders, you firefighters, you police officers, you folks that have spent time in law enforcement, we honor you today. We love you. You know, my wife and I, 21 years ago, founded the Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast in Chesapeake, Virginia, and we would honor, and still do it, we'll be doing it in January of this year, we honor people from around the community, regardless of race or anything like that. We want it to be a unifying event. And after 9/11, we said, never again will we wait until a tragedy to acknowledge what our police and our firefighters and our first responders do for us. Every year, we honor our police and firefighters and first responders because they deserve it. They deserve it. So praise God, it's really a pleasure to be here, and I'm really honored to be asked. Little old kid from Chester, Pennsylvania, born into a broken home, raised in foster care for the first 10 years of my life. And here I am standing on a stage talking to patriots who love God and love this nation, and honored to be a friend of Andrew and Jamie Womack. Folks, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. What we have, he gave us. What we are, he made us. What we know, he taught us. And where we are, he brought us. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. I want to talk to you for a few minutes from Romans chapter 11, verse 29, just one verse. And it reads, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." I want to pose this question today. What will you do with the gifts and the calling? What will you do with the gifts and the calling? And by the way, my staff will be all over me if I don't mention, we've got a table outside and we've got books and materials. And by the way, I've just finished my third book, not published yet, but I've just finished my third book. So you all pray for me as we're looking for publishers in the hands of editors right now. The book is entitled Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. And I'm excited about this book. So you all pray for me. It'll be coming out soon. What will you do with the gifts and the calling? All of us who are Christians know that God has gifted us, that he has blessed us, that he has endowed us. Each of us somewhat differently and in different ways. Of course, the greatest gift that God has given us is the gift of salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But on top of that, God has endowed each of us in certain unique ways. And if we are mature, then we know that we're stewards of the gifts that God has given us. Some of you are gifted in administration. I've met so many people around this ministry who are gifted in so many ways that God has brought together around Andrew and Jamie. But all of you are gifted and in different ways. Some may sing, some may have leadership or administrative capabilities, some may be good technically. Some are obviously quite good with the visual arts and with television, like Elizabeth and her crew. But we all know that God has gifted us, and we know that we are responsible for what we do with that gifting. But I am convinced that not enough Christians understand that being born an American is a gift from Almighty God. The Bible says in Acts 17, 26, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and determine their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. That means that we are not here by accident. We are not here by happenstance. Those of you who may have Irish ancestors, they didn't come here simply because of a potato famine or oppression by the British. Those of you who may have Italian ancestors, they didn't come here simply because of the wars and upheavals and the pogroms and the poverty that was happening in Italy. Some of you are of German extraction, but they didn't come here simply because of the oppression that they were experiencing in parts of Germany, in parts of Prussia, what was then the Austria-Hungary Empire. And yes, those of you who are here with African ancestry, your ancestors didn't come here because of slavery. All of these things happened, yes, and all of these things occurred, but God used these things as instruments to put you in your assignment, to give you an appointment. My great-grandparents were slaves and sharecroppers in Orange County, Virginia. You will find Gabriel and Eliza Jackson in the 1880 census raising my grandfather. But little did they know, God did, that they would have a great-grandson who would experience what they never did experience, who would experience the freedom and the opportunity and the glory and the possibility and the fulfillment of potential that is only available in the United States of America. When I got saved, God impressed upon me two vital truths that I've never forgotten. And they didn't happen right away. It took the first few years of my walk with Jesus Christ, which began in December of 1976. But God impressed two things upon me, which I'll never forget. Number one, God said to me, America is my gift to you. And I expect you to be a steward of it. And I understood that God was not merely talking to me, but to every American. And what a contrast that was to the resentment and the bitterness and the division and the hatred that was being sown into the black community around the country, as if somehow we didn't belong here and should hate the country of our birth. I was born in the United States of America by divine appointment. And so were you. And God impressed upon me, now what are you going to do with the gift? And he said, while others are obsessing about what has happened to them, I want you obsessing about what I want to do through you. So America is a gift to you, and you are a gift to America. God gave America to us, and he gave us to America. George Washington believed that the hand of God has been on this country from the beginning, and I agree with him. He said, no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States of America. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. In other words, George Washington, Christian man, said, I see the hand of God at every turn. We are a providential nation. You know, in Psalm chapter 2, it's a messianic psalm, this verse is anyway, where God says, ask of me and I will give you nations and the ends of the earth for your possession. And God, I believe, is saying to us, ask of me, and I will give you the United States of America and wrench it from the hands of the devil. Is there anybody in this audience, no matter where you came from, no matter how soon, maybe you're of several generations, I predate my ancestry in this country back to 1798. My grandfather was born the year before my great-grandfather was born the year before George Washington died. My editor asked me about that. He said, Bishop, you gotta have that wrong. He said, that's only two generations. Your great-grandfather was a slave and a sharecropper, was born before George Washington died. And I explained to him, well, if you look at it, you'll find out that my great-grandfather was apparently very prolific. He had children in his 70s. I said, I come from tall cotton, son. But is there any one of us who can honestly say, oh, I would have been so much better off if my ancestors had never come to this continent. My life would have been so much better if they'd never come here. According to the genetic test, my ancestors came primarily from the Ivory Coast and Ghana. The Ivory Coast and Ghana are rife with poverty. 50 out of the 54 countries in Africa have the majority of their population lives below the poverty line. How could I ever imagine that I would have been better off had not my ancestors paid a terrible price of enduring the ravages of slavery? And your ancestors may have endured other things, but how could we not be grateful for the fact that they paid a price that we might enjoy something that they didn't? you study Africa now, and you'll be amazed. When I was in college, I had three friends from Africa. One was of the tribe of the Ibu, one was Hausa, and the other was a Yoruba. And they talked to me about, and if you looked at them, you couldn't tell the difference in terms of any kind of racial classification. They were all Africans. But they told me of the vicious wars that they had endured and how their tribes, even at home, they have to be careful about who they hang out with and who they're seen with because of the tribalism and the vestiges of the Biafran War in which they slaughtered one another by the thousands. My brothers and sisters, the world has been rife with slavery and subjugation from the time Adam and Eve fell. The problem is not the skin, the problem is the sin. And there's only one antidote, and his name is Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what the world needs. But only one nation on earth has brought together people from all over the globe. Do you realize when the book of Revelation tells us God is redeemed by his blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, that sounds more like America than any other country that's ever existed. We are a picture of what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. Because there is no black heaven or white heaven or brown heaven or yellow heaven. There's no Hispanic heaven. There's no African heaven. There's only one name given under men of under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. And when you stand before God, you can't plead your race. You've got to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I put that in context so that you understand what I mean when I say, therefore, I know I am not an African American. I am an American. And when we stand before God, just think about this for a second. If Jesus tarries and doesn't catch us all away in the rapture, and you drop this robe of flesh and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I said this to an audience that was predominantly black one time. I said, "What do you think that you're going to somehow plead your race?" I said, "That's going to be hard to do without that body you live in now." Because this stuff is just the house we live in. We are the children of our Father, and he is the Father of spirits. Who we really are is who we are down on the inside. And when you've been born again, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Look, everybody knows that verse. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And we all have that memorized. But you know, very few Christians put the verse before it in its context, because the verse before it says, henceforth now know we no one according to the flesh. Even though we once knew Christ according to the flesh, henceforth know we him thus no longer. We Christians have got to make up our minds that it's not the color of the skin, but the content of the character that matters. So we need a kind of theology, biblical theology of place, that we are here because we are called here. I was thinking of Andrew about you in this ministry, and I thought to myself, and with all due respect to Andrew, who is just a wonderful man, I thought to myself, you know, Andrew couldn't have dreamed all this up if he tried. Without God. I mean, you see God moving through him, in a just a most miraculous way. In fact, you know, those of you who heard him talk about his story or heard him say, people probably look at him and say, well, you know, I mean, just, he's, I guess he'll get by. But look at what God is doing. This is Andrew, I say this by the Spirit of God, this is your time. And this place was ordained by Almighty God to be a center for awakening and revival in this nation. You are preparing people to go out and wake others up all over this land. So we've got to understand where we are and then treasure this gift that God has given us, this gift of the United States of America. You know, I say we know that we're supposed to develop our gifts. We're supposed to not bury our gift in the ground. We're supposed to treasure the gift. Well, we ought to treasure our country. And not just, by the way, the wonders of the physical land and the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean and Pikes Peak and the Grand Canyon. And I mean, this is a beautiful country. In fact, if you've never read Discrimination and Disparities by Thomas Sowell, I would suggest you read that book, because Thomas Sowell in that book talks about the fact that nothing is evenly divided in the world. Nothing. And he talks about the economic and geographical advantages of the United States of America. Things that you and I could not create. The many ports along our coasts. And the navigable rivers within our continent. Things that you and I could not have planned. Only God could have planned them. And so all of that is wonderful. But we've got to learn to treasure not just all of that, but we've got to learn to treasure one another. We've got to treasure the people. Because God did not make us for America. He made America for us. It is the people that God treasures. You know, we're supposed to be one family. We're supposed to be one nation. We're supposed to be one people. And we've got folks running around this country trying to slice and dice and divide us every which way. Well, we've got to remember that what we love about America is its people. And what we're fighting for are redeeming the people. Look, what you just saw, that beautiful, Elizabeth, thank you so much for that beautiful tribute to the heroes of 911. But what was it about? The character of our people. The character of our people. And I hear people denigrate our country and America's a racist country. America's a white supremacist country. America's a nation of systemic racism. And I think about traveling the breadth of this country and the wonderful people I've met, the goodness and the decency. I know we're not perfect, but the goodness and the decency of the American people. And the devil is using folks to go around and sow evil and sow wickedness and try to convince children as young as 3 months old that there's something wrong with them because of the color of their skin. It's an abomination. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. God has blessed our country. America, America starts out singing about, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. But that verse ends, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Let's talk about a rally that took place, and I forget the exact location, and it's been hard to find it, but it happened where there was a Ku Klux Klan rally going through a community, and there a counter protest developed, and they overwhelmed the members of the Klan, and one of the members of the Klan got caught, and there was a group of people around him trying to beat him to death, and a black woman laid on his body and said, leave him alone, and protected that man. She got him saved, he repented of his sin, and walked with Jesus Christ the rest of his life. Don't tell me about my country. I know what my country is. And you can condemn America, but if you want to condemn America, you better look at yourself, because there's not a single one of us who would want somebody to go through our lives and find every negative thing they could find and then tell a story about us based on that. You'd want somebody to remember that we tried to do good things. You want somebody to remember that we tried to be decent, that we tried to be honorable. And I say, for every negative story you can find, I can find 10 more that are good. You want to tell me about the lynching era? Okay, fine. But how about the many white brothers and sisters who were lynched because they would not allow black people to be abused and murdered, and they were killed for it? Glory to God. Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 and 39 say this. 37 through 39 say this. God says to Jerusalem, 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 the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You know, I hear God saying, America, America, I want to gather you under the shadow of my wings. Won't you be willing? And it's up to us to help our fellow citizens understand God loves us and wants us. And we simply got to be willing. You know, he's the initiator. He's the one reaching out. He's the one saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus went on to say to Israel, see, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall no more see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And my prayer for my country has been, oh God, don't leave America desolate, because millions of us are crying out saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have not forgotten you. We have not forsaken you. We have not turned our backs on you. And we love this country that you gave us. And Lord God, have mercy upon the United States of America. All right, heart's desire is that America be saved. Just like Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that she might be saved. And for those who say, but Bishop Jackson, as Richard said earlier, but stay out of politics. Don't get involved in that. Don't touch that. Since when am I, as a minister of the gospel, supposed to be cordoned off from some element of society? Since when? What Bible have you been reading? If you want to tell Moses, don't get involved in politics. Pharaoh is a political leader. Leave him alone. Stay in your lane and just preach good news. Elijah, don't go down and tell Ahab and Jezebel or Biden and Jill. That they are troubling the land. No. Elijah, stay out of that. That's none of your business. Or go tell Nathan. Don't you dare go down and rebuke David just because he committed adultery and murder and lied. Don't you, it's not your job to correct him. He's a political leader. But Nathan went and told David, you are the man who stole the little ewe lamb. And by the grace of Almighty God, as long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to cry aloud and spare not and show my people their iniquity, show the house of America its sin. You that make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest until he makes America a praise in the earth. Andrew, it's interesting. One spirit, many gifts. Many gifts, one spirit. You mentioned Eli. I was planning to talk a little bit about Eli because Eli was one of those people who thought, well, I don't want to get too involved, and I'm just going to let things play out. And his sons committed abomination before God, used their position for all kinds of sexual promiscuity and to enrich themselves. And he sat back and watched it happen and felt, I'm too busy doing the work of the priesthood. And you all know what God said to him. God cursed his line. God said to him, why do you kick at my sacrifice? See, if you believe America's a gift and yet you think, not you, I know that you all are here because you don't believe this, but we have many Christians who somehow believe this, some pastors who believe this, that we ought to stay out of that. That's not our business. He said, why do you kick at my sacrifice? My offering, which I commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We are missing the will of God. And I hear God asking the same question of too many of our pastors across this nation today. Why do you honor your members more than me? Why do you honor money more than me? Why do you honor the media and what they might say about you more than me? And why do you honor your ministry more than me? God says, for those who honor me, I will honor. We are honoring God to do what we're doing because we are honoring the gift that God gave us. And it would be a dishonor to God to allow this perversion to go on in our country and to say nothing about it. We are honoring what God has done to honor the saved, the brave souls who stood up on 9-1-1 because we know that they were God-inspired. I mean, every time I think about Flight 93 and people consciously agreeing, we will not allow this flight to reach its destination. If we're gonna die, we're gonna die on our own terms, not on these terrorist terms. 343 firefighters, 77 police officers, 2,977 souls lost their lives on 9-1-1. And folks, this is why it's partly the Marine Corps in me and partly that training, but it's also partly just the God in me and the knowing the gift of God. And you all forgive me, but I get a little bit incensed when people dishonor that flag and disrespect that flag and don't want to stand up for that flag and don't want to stand up for the national anthem. That flag represents the greatest country the world has ever seen. That flag represents the veterans who have served in the military. That flag represents those who gave their lives for this country. That flag represents us, and I'm going to stand up for it and honor it. I don't care what anybody has to say. We've got news for this politically correct crowd. They're going to find out something. These colors don't run. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Disrespecting my flag. You know, Colin Kaepernick and the likes refusing to stand up for the flag. And by the way, just as a footnote, the doorway's open for you to leave if you don't like it. We live in a free country. They can go live anywhere they want. But in their heart of hearts, they know this is the only place where you can act like a fool and make money doing it. The myth of police hunting down black men. I don't know whether you all noticed, but I'm black. I don't know how they miss me. My son's black. I don't know how they miss him. My son-in-law's black. They miss him too. I mean, this is a lie, folks. This is a myth meant to divide, meant to perpetuate a kind of Marxist view, collectivist view of America as a racially oppressive place. But here's what they're ignoring in the meantime. And that's what, you know, these misguided billionaires gave Black Lives Matter $90 million in 2020. $90 million. And praise God, Andrew, I pray that a billionaire will walk up and give you $1 billion so you can do something and make a difference in this country. You won't see this in the news, but my organization's been chronicling it. Since 2020, January of 2020, 191 innocent children have been murdered in the inner cities of our country. And the last one murdered, little child named Asiah, 3 years old. You know what he was doing? In his bed, sleeping. In Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, when some guys decided to get into a gunfight and a bullet pierced his house and killed him dead, 3 years old. They shot into that home 150 rounds. It ought to be a national scandal. But see, it doesn't fit the mainstream media narrative because cops didn't kill that child. And white supremacists, so-called, didn't kill that child. That child was killed by the criminals that they are letting out of prison to go out and hurt more people. And now we've got the blood of these children on the hands of this nation, and it's being ignored while everybody talks about Black Lives Matter. That whole concept is a lie. And people say to me, but Bishop Jackson, I understand the concept. The concept is a lie. Because the moment you say that, you are saying that somehow in America, the lives of Black people don't matter. That is a lie. In America, all lives matter, including the lives of unborn children. 400,000 Black babies are murdered every year, and you don't hear a peep. All lives matter. From the time a child is conceived, that child's life matters. The lives of these children being murdered in the streets of our cities matter. And we don't need to defund and dismantle the police. We need more police officers. We need to uphold them. We need to encourage them. We need to bless them. And we need to say, come on, we need more of you to do what's right for our country. Glory to God. So we need to treasure this gift that God has given us, the United States of America. And then lastly, we need to protect this gift. We need to protect it. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 16:6 to his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And you all know the story. They thought he was talking about bread. They thought he was talking about physical bread. And then Jesus actually had to rebuke them and say, when are you going to understand? See, I'm not talking about physical bread. He said, I'm talking about the teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees. We got a lot of leaven in our society right now. Now, look, it's not your fault and my fault, but I'll tell you what. The church has abdicated for many years. While all of this has been going on, we just kind of ignored it. And even recently, when I was running for lieutenant governor, I would run across Christians and say, oh, no, I don't get involved in politics. And I would say, well, do you realize what the implications are for your church, for your ministry, for your members? And now what I was predicting then is happening. If you have a member who works in the corporate world and they are pro-life, they are pro-traditional family, they are Bible-believing Christian, they better watch it. Because their job could be at stake. If you own a business and you want to run that business according to biblical principle, you better watch out. Because there are forces that want to destroy your business. They want to make an example of you. They want to show the world that you can't hold those views and get along. They are just like the communists who went before them. They think they can use force to make people bow to their will. But I've got news for them. We must please God rather than man. And we're not bowing down. We don't care what they do. We're going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they can dance and they can play their tune and say, you better bow down. But we're going to say, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. I'm not bowing down. No matter what you say, I'm going to stand up, stand up for Jesus because I'm a soldier of the cross. Now, Colossians 2:8 says something similar, expands on it. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. These man-made traditions, these vain and empty deceits, have found their way into our public schools. They found their way into our colleges, our universities. They found their way into the corporate world. They found their way into the entertainment world. They found their way into every aspect of American society. It's really nothing but the leaven of the Pharisees. It's really this false doctrine, this false teaching, which is rooted and grounded in Marxism. Critical race theory. America was founded in 1619. You gotta have BBs for brains to believe that. But the woman who wrote it got a Pulitzer Prize and a $15,000 prize with it and got appointed as a tenured professor at the University of North Carolina at a salary of $180,000 a year. They are rewarding people for telling lies. The leaven of the Pharisees. Vain deceits has crept in. But here's the saddest part. It's getting into the church. You got churches teaching critical race theory, which is nothing but a lie out of the pit of hell, which basically says everything and everybody of any European background, in other words, if you've got lighter skinned, you are a racist. And you are responsible for racism. By the way, you'll notice I don't like this concept of people of color. I say, because I've never met anybody without color. Everybody I've ever met has it. But here again, it's the divisiveness. I read the book on critical race theory, and you know one of the things they start the book out with, they say, if you have a bad interaction with somebody and they happen to be the same color skin you are, that's okay, probably normal. But if you had a bad interaction with somebody and they're a different color skin, that was a microaggression against you. Folks, let me tell you something. You got to think of this way. We are witnessing a cult. That's what this is cult-like thinking and behavior. You are asking people to buy into an unreality. I mean, look, you may have a bad interaction with some people simply because that person happens to be a jerk. I mean, has nothing to do with the color of their skin. I mean, and forgive me, my wife has to jump on me sometimes. Who knows? I may have been the bad person who said something I shouldn't have said. I mean, this is part of being a human being, but they want to make everything racial. It is time to stop thinking of ourselves in these racial categories. That's not how God made us. Every single one of us comes from the same parents, Adam and Eve. Every single one of us bleeds the same red blood. Every single one of us hurts. Every single one of us can have problems. Every single one of us can sin. Every single one of us is in need of redemption. We are one body in Christ. I don't care what the color of your skin, if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that he rose on the third day for your salvation, if you believe that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are my brother, you are my sister in Christ. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is in all and over all and through you all. Don't let the devil divide us on the basis of these superficial differences that exist. But we got to stand together as one body of Christ. And when we do that, we cannot be defeated. I'm telling you, this is why I am so hopeful. People often question, how can you be so optimistic? And I say, because I know the power of God. And look, George Soros, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, Sundar Pichai, Warren Buffett, Michael Bloomberg, all put together put all their money together and they're paupers in the sight of God. All the powerful politicians in the world cannot overcome us. You can put Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, put them all in the same room and put all their heads together, and it doesn't amount to a pinpoint of knowledge or wisdom or understanding when it comes to Almighty God. The fact is, compared to God, and if you got the wisdom of God and you listen to me, compared to you, they got to raise their IQ 200 points just to get stupid. What are we worried about? Why in the world would we be worried about these people? Hey man, we know in whom we have believed, but what we've got to do is stand on what we know God has promised us, what God has said to us, amen? And look, this is a process. It is not a one-time thing, which is why Andrew is constantly doing something to try to move the agenda forward, because we know God is already moving. I come in agreement with Andrew that the awakening has already begun. Yeah. Say, prove it. You're here. I'm here. There are people all over the nation in agreement with us, and they are ready to move. In fact, some of them have to say, now, wait a minute, calm down, calm down. They said, Bishop, where do we enlist? We got our rifles loaded. I said, no, wait a minute, whoa, not yet. Whoa, let's use the constitutional mechanisms that are available to us. Let's use what God has given us, amen? Amen. First of all, let's use prayer, because the effectual prayer of the righteous avails much. God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. I've asked God for America to be awakened. God said, if I ask, it will be given. If you ask, it will be given. I've asked God for the people of God to rise up in power. God said, if you ask it, it would be given. I can't imagine a circumstance in which God's going to say, no, I don't want to do that for you. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. So don't give up on the power of prayer. Seek God's face. Hallelujah. He never fails. He never falters. And he never forgets. Glory to God. And the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. He didn't give us the United States of America to take it away. In order for you to lose the United States of America, you have to give it to the devil. And you know what? I'm not giving it to him. Hallelujah. I'm not giving it to him, and he can't take it. For greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And Jesus always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. So. Use the tool available to you, the power of prayer. Now, as Richard said, don't just pray. Now, follow the logical extension of that prayer. You're praying for something, Lord, do something for my country. Get involved. Get involved. Call your friends, call your family. Tell them to step up, stand up, speak up. Get involved. Don't you thank God for these parents around the country challenging these school boards, telling them, you will not teach my child that he can be a transgender. You will not teach my child critical race theory. You will not put that mess on my children. Hallelujah. Put the power of prayer to work. And then look, the Bible says we shall declare a thing and it shall be established for us. Stop just declaring all the negative stuff and let's start declaring that America is a blessed nation. That America is a nation that honors Almighty God. That America is a nation whose God is the Lord. Join with me in pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this nation from sea to shining sea. Join with me in declaring that America's rising up to fulfill the great destiny that God had in mind for this country when he put it in the hearts of our founding fathers. We cannot fail because God cannot fail. Glory to God. Glory to God. Use the power of the prophetic voice of the church to say no. No, you're not going to let, Lord, a decrepit, man who is a puppet of a bunch of leftists, communists, socialists, Marxists, tear this country apart and take away our freedom. You're not gonna do it. I don't care what they use. They can try to use the vaccine, but I got something better than the vaccine. I've got the word of God. I've got the blood of Jesus. By his stripes, I was healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't you dare say, for those whom he foreknew, he also called. And those whom he called, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And those whom he predestined, he justified and glorified. So what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Can I preach a minute before I sit down? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and is risen again. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor the left nor the Democrat Party, nor critical race theory, nor Antifa can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors because he loved us. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. That's right. And use the power of praise. Don't wait till you see the full manifestation. Don't wait till the battle is over. Praise the Lord now. I praise you right now for victory in my country. I praise you right now for the breakthrough. I praise you right now for the awakening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy to be praised. For have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait, I said they that wait, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.